Testing mic 1, 2.
Welcome to Seen and Heard, a podcast highlighting local musicians and the local music scene. Now here's your host, Dave Penn.
Welcome. Thank you for checking out the podcast. Now, just to clarify, my definition of local musician is Western Pennsylvania. It's where I've lived most of my life and the music scene I'm most familiar with. Now, my desire is to shine a spotlight on musicians who typically reside in and play gigs around Western PA. Obviously, my hope is that this podcast grows and expands so that local is any town, USA. But until then, my focus will be local and independent musicians around Western PA. Today's featured local musician is Tim Henry from Sour Mash, also known as the baddest biker band on the planet. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, thanks for having me.
First of all, I want to thank you for making time today. It's an absolute pleasure for me to feature Sour Mash on the podcast. Thank you, man.
Hey, no, we appreciate it. And for you to have us in, it means a lot.
I've seen you guys a number of times, but I've never actually met you and talked to you, so this is great. Secondly, I don't want to take up a lot of our time doing all the talking, but I do want to do Sour Mash justice by letting my listeners, maybe who may not be as familiar with you, know just why it's such a big deal for me that you made time to come in for the interview. Folks, I know Sour Mash as a local band. Now, you call yourself an independent band.
Right, yeah. I mean, the way we look at it is, everybody's from somewhere, and yeah. We're proud to be from Western Pennsylvania. But we're proud of being independent artists too. We do everything ourselves. We record, we promote, all of our marketing, everything is all us. We're not tied to a record company or anything like that.
Very
but
cool.
We're putting out our own music.
Now, when I say local, I guess I'm meaning kind of like the greater Pittsburgh area, Westmoreland County and surrounding counties. But I know you guys are very popular all along the northeastern part of the country. Now, you're made up of true motorcyclists. Yeah. You still drive them onto the stage, ride them onto the stage?
Well, not onto the stage, but to the stage.
To the stage,
Yeah. It depends on the situation. A lot of times we do a lot of motorcycle rallies. And we've done that in the past. And a lot of times, we travel to the shows, like we're playing in New York or Eastern Pennsylvania or Ohio, wherever we go. We take the bikes and we have somebody bring
take
our equipment.
Yeah.
And the guys ride. And we started out as six guys in the band, and that's when we realized we all rode, and just started to make an event out of it, because we like to ride so much. Why not ride to the show and have the show pay for
live
our hotel.
Live what you preach. Yeah, yeah, right.
It's a little bit of a vacation.
That's awesome. Now, I haven't even gotten into the awards you've won, all the accolades. There's just so much to talk about, and we'll look at that shortly. What I thought was really cool, now you guys, you're a big band with a big band sound, but you do it all with only three members.
Yeah.
Tell me about you guys.
Well, it's kind of been an interesting ride for the last almost 16 years now. We're into our 16th year. We started out as a more of a cover band doing Southern rock, and there were six of us, and we had a keyboard player that played guitar. We had two guitar players, a front man, bass, and drums. And we got to a point where people were leaving for whatever reason, just mostly personal stuff, family life, all that business. We're all a little bit older, we're not out there setting the world on fire. When that stuff happens, we try to replace people, but we've been able to just kind of pare things down, become a little more streamlined. And for a long time, we were four. Then just last year, our second guitar player had left. So now it's just three.
You had a drummer replacement not long back. Brian's a relatively new guy.
Yeah, and we're looking to replace Brian. He gave us notice he's moving on.
Okay.
So and our friend Chris Batten.
I was just gonna say
who has a Greensburg Distilling Company.
Yeah.
I've known Chris for a long time, and Dave, a bass player, has known Chris as well. He's been helping us out and filling in a couple of shows. So.
Yeah, and I was gonna bring that up. We might as well go right to it. You just got back recently from a pretty big opportunity in Hollywood with Chris, our mutual friend.
Yeah, so we had an opportunity to play at the Whiskey A Go-Go, and you know, at the time, you know, we agreed to do it. That was, you know, Brian was with us and all that, and some things came up, and he couldn't do the show, and we reached out to Chris, and he went out, and it was such a great experience. We just being on the stage, being it was on our bucket list just to even visit Zeppelin, the Whiskey A Go-Go, and be on the Sunset Strip, but to play there, and so many artists have been on that stage, and we found out, I don't know if you know this, I'm a big Kiss fan. Like, I grew up.
You're kidding me.
Like, Kiss was like my thing forever.
I'm a huge Kiss fan, by the way. Oh, huge. Awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
All of it are just 5 years old.
That's same with me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Probably 75, 76, I got into them.
Wow. And, same here. And still am. That's incredible, huh?
I didn't know that. Yeah. But the interesting thing is, it's like when we were playing the Whiskey, I don't know if you've been there, but as soon as you walk in the door, the stage is right there. It's like kind of got its back to the street. So when you walk in the door, it's to the right. I'm pointing and we're on radio.
It's all right.
But then there's like an upper level, a second, like a balcony. And that's where they got their name. They used to have go-go dancers up on the platforms up
there.
That
I knew.
But now it's like more seating area. And then once you go from there, the third floor is where the green rooms are and so forth. And there's kind of like a back staircase that goes from the green room level down to that platform and then down directly to the stage. And I'm not a tall guy anyway, but the handrail was like about head height for me.
Holy cow.
And we were asking the people at the Whiskey, why is a handrail so high? I said, well, Kiss played here a couple of years ago, and Gene Simmons needed the handrail raised because of his boots, because he's tall and all that. So they left it. And,
holy cow.
Yeah, it's just stuff like that. There's so many stories in that place that it was just so fun to be there. And probably when we were playing the show, maybe two or three songs in, I just kind of got this, I can't believe we're actually playing here.
I was going to ask you that, because that's not, I mean, when you think about who else's feet were on that stage right where you're standing. Yeah. I mean, at some point I would think it would overwhelm you or would hit you at some point, you know?
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
I mean, we've done other things like that, like, you know, even just around here. We went to Woodstock, was that last spring?
Yeah.
In 24. We went to Woodstock. Now, we didn't play at, what's that? I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, where the original Woodstock stage was.
Oh, okay. It's kind of like I'm on a slant.
Yeah, it's kind of like a museum now.
Yes, it is.
But
I know what you're talking.
We played in the actual town of Woodstock, which is maybe 15 minutes away. But that was such an experience, too. We hung around and did the museum tour and got to stand like where the stage was. And there, if you go there now, there's a Sour Mash sticker right on one of the
you're kidding.
The power boxes. It's
nice.
Right there. Yeah,
so. That's awesome. I know it's always it's difficult for people to talk about themselves and feel like you're puffing yourself up. But as a body of work with Sour Mash, when I look at what you've done, it's almost head spinning to think about all that you accomplished since. What you said about 16 years ago it was that you you guys got together. You've been nominated for awards. One of your songs spent time on the charts in Europe. A couple of your songs have been featured in films and TV shows. And that's just scratching the surface. I mean, what's cool about that to me is I'm talking about quote unquote local band, independent band, a Western Pennsylvania band that has really gone out and accomplished a lot. Talk about some of the things that you're proud of, you know, the Josie Music Awards, and you guys have gotten awards for everything for each guy in the band. Best vocalist, best bass, best drummer. You know, those things are really cool. And I think, you know, you should be definitely proud of those things.
Yeah, we certainly are. And we don't take anything for granted. And I have to say, I'm here by myself today, but we're a pretty tight-knit group.
Yeah.
And even former members and stuff, we still hang out and do all that. There's some quality musicians there. And I'm fortunate to have played with all those guys, past and present and future, I'm sure. But I've had people tell me, you know, that we're fortunate or we're lucky or whatever. And my opinion on that kind of stuff is there's opportunity and preparedness.
Right.
You know, and I've had personally, not even in music, so to speak, but in just in everyday life, had things come up and I wasn't ready and I missed opportunities. Mm. I kind of drive that in this band where we have to make sure that we're prepared, well rehearsed,
right,
and always ready to play, and always have something
to
sell.
To be on the top.
Yeah. And yeah, that's creating new music. We have to keep people interested and stay fresh. You know, from day one, as soon as we released our first EP, we had an opportunity right away, and it was a friend that had given us the information that Touch Tunes was doing this contest.
Mm.
You know, if you make it so far or do whatever, you enter a song, and then you get added to their jukebox nationwide. Right. And that came through for us because we had a song.
Yep.
And the place we recorded that, it was actually the same song as You Are Everything. The place we recorded that album, the engineer, the owner of the studio, knew somebody that knew somebody, and hey, they're doing a movie. And we presented it, and they liked it, and it was on a jukebox in the movie. That was how it was featured in the movie. It was like a bar scene, and it was in a jukebox. So there's always like cool little stories like that. But
a fancy piece of homicide. If you're ever able to check that out, you can. And it says on there in the jukebox, "The Sour Mash."
Yeah,
and You Are Everything. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool. And then you had you had one of your songs on the show Scorpion.
Right.
Which was big for a while there.
Yeah, and that was just another, a perfect storm, however you want to call it. It was an opportunity. We connected with a company that does placement, and because that was fresh, it was fairly new released. I think that was maybe within a year or maybe a year and a half of when we released that first album. I think they came at us with two songs. They came back and said, we're interested in these two songs. Mm-hmm. It was Flesh and Bone and Mr. Mayhem. And then Scorpion landed on Flesh and Bone. Fortunately, unfortunately, it actually makes some money for us because that's in reruns everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know, 70-some countries or something. It's crazy what the number is.
Good for you, man.
And when I say makes money,
I know, you get those checks for
still pennies,
28
but,
cents. And...
Right, yeah. But every so often, you know, you get something in the mail or it's deposited in the account, and it's nice. But the funny thing is it's like the most bizarre scene. They're always in some kind of a situation, and they come out with these big, like, paper mache heads. It was almost like like a Mardi Gras head.
Oh, you know? Okay. All right. I see what you're talking about.
And they look like they're going to just come in and destroy things, and then they come out with these silly heads on. It's kind of bizarre, but it's cool that we're in the movie.
And then
TV
your song's
show.
Playing.
Yeah.
Let me move up a little bit. In 2020, you started releasing singles in digital-only format, and you had some success with that. Tell me about that decision and how that's going.
Yeah, that was certainly something that we wanted to do at the time. When you deal with things like Spotify and the streaming services and all that, we always like to have the physical copy, but it was cost-effective to release the digital. And Spotify, whatever their algorithm was at the time, was that if you release an album, you only get featured by the first release, the first single. But if you release a single, every single you release is featured at some level.
Yeah.
So you're kind of generating more hits, mm-hmm. you know, with the same amount of songs. Right?
Interesting.
So that was a conscious decision that we made, and it kind of worked out for us a little bit. But in the recording process, I like to have the physical thing anyway. Like I grew up on vinyl albums, and hopefully the next one we release will be on vinyl. But aside from that, you don't get the consistency from the studio from song to song.
Mm.
Whereas like when you do an overall master of an album, then it's kind of, it all sounds the same. You know, you get the same mic placement on the drums and all that because you're doing it all at once.
Right.
So it's a give and take, but our music is so varied that it's not like you're not going to recognize the band, but from song to song, it doesn't sound like the same band sometimes.
Interesting. You know? All right. So as we got to bring this conversation to a close, tell me what's in store for Sour Mash going forward in the future. What do you see? Just continuing doing what you're doing? Do you have any more plans to get into movies? Or are you going to start acting yourself? Or
I'm not opposed to it. In fact, we actually had an opportunity a couple of years ago. They were filming Banshee in my old hometown of Vandergrift.
Oh, yeah.
And we were contacted by an agency that they needed to film like a bar scene with a band. And we were kind of selected, and then over...
ruled by the director, and they ended up placing actors instead of a band.
Figures.
So it didn't happen for us, but at the time then I thought maybe we should put ourselves in that position so we don't miss it next time, and get involved in maybe doing some acting to some background stuff or whatever.
There's always just joking around, but you're actually that's cool.
It doesn't hurt to have that in your pocket, case something comes up. But yeah, we're always working on new music. Like I said previously, we're hoping to put an album out, and the big idea is maybe a 3-record set and release them in a series, not all together, but doing a vinyl package.
Wow, that's cool.
We have enough material to do that at this point. So we've been working on things in the studio, but with personnel changes and stuff, we might need to step back and kind of start some of that over. But yeah, we're a big family, so I don't think it matters that much. We just want to keep getting music out there and hopefully keep people happy with what we're doing.
Well, whatever you do, I know it's going to be, it'll be award winning. I know it. Good luck. I wish you nothing but the best going forward. And I look forward to, being around, continuing to follow you guys and to listen. I love your stuff. And I appreciate you spending some time with me today. It's been a real treat. Thanks for coming in. And I see you brought your guitar with you. At my request. Would I be able to twist your arm to get you to, doing a little acoustic thing for us?
Yeah, we can give that a shot.
Nice. Yeah. And I didn't ask you this beforehand. This is totally like off the cuff. I don't know what you plan on playing. I just wanted to find out as it happens. So what are you going to play for us?
I actually don't know. before I tell you that, I just want to say thanks for having me. And it's been a real pleasure. And
it's nice to finally meet you.
You know, what you're doing and taking care of this scene, and it's going to be beneficial and probably running a long time, because there's a lot of great musicians in this area. So we appreciate it. But the song I think I'm going to do is I Walk Alone from the first EP.
All right. It's Tim Henry of Sour Mash, and we're going to hear I Walk Alone.
Past fill my mind, the remains of a life I left behind, mistakes that I've made cannot be undone, these hands are forever stained with foreign blood. Walked these streets alone a thousand times before, but this place ain't familiar anymore. I need to make amends for what I have done. I've been running from myself for far too long, so far from home. I walk alone, I'm letting go, I walk alone. Voices from the past, they fade from inside, the remains of a life I tried to hide, but I pick up the pieces and I concede I won't tread again on this dead end street. It's so far from home, I walk alone, I'm walk alone. I'm going home. I walk alone.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. All right. One last thing, Tim, before we go. How can people get more information if they want to find out about your schedule, what you got going on, about you in general?
Our website has pretty much all the information you need. SourMashRocks.com. There's links to our Facebook and our social media, our YouTube and all that stuff there. And there's tour dates, videos, photos, little bios and stuff, and links to everything. So go to SourMashRocks.com, and that's where you need to be.
You've been listening to Seen and Heard, a podcast highlighting local musicians and the local music scene. If you are a band or musician who would like to be considered for the podcast, send your request to DavePenn11@comcast.net.